This is Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Today on Jay Sekulow Live, we've got breaking news. As the House prepares to send impeachment articles to the Senate, the president announces new sanctions on Iran.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Today's sanctions are part of our commitment to stop the Iranian regime's global terrorist activities. The president has been very clear. We will continue to apply economic sanctions until Iran stops its terrorist activities and commit that it will never have nuclear weapons.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The goal of our campaign is to deny the regime the resources to conduct its destructive foreign policy. We want Iran to simply behave like a normal nation. We believe the sanctions that we impose today further that strategic objective.
And now your host, Than Bennett.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live, everyone. I'm Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Thrilled to be with you again today. We are actually going to be joined by Jordan here in studio live in just a few minutes. As I'm sure you can understand, the schedule here in Washington, D.C. today is a bit fluid. There are a lot of moving parts, to say the least. But let me tell you this right off the bat, even before Jordan gets here. I spoke with Jay and Jordan both today. They are both doing very well as they continue to prepare for an impeachment trial in the United States Senate. Doing well, preparing hard, working hard, in good spirits. And again, Jordan will be with us in just a few minutes, so you'll get that update directly from him. But until then, I'm also thrilled to again have Colonel retired Wes Smith and Professor Harry Hutchison joining me to get you posted on a number of things going on in the world. You heard some of it in the open, and we're going to cover the issues of the day, including that Ukrainian airliner that was shot down by Iran. It looks more and more likely. But we also want to get you into the conversation. I've got a few things on my mind, but I want to know what's on your mind. So we're going to have an open lines Friday. I know Jordan always enjoys talking to you as well, so he will want to get as many of you on the broadcast as he can. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But as we open the show, let me just give you three things that are top of mind for me. Number one has to be national security. Folks, you heard in the open from Secretary Pompeo that he is putting new sanctions on Iran, as is the president, issued a new executive order targeting top Iranian officials. Folks, the maximum pressure campaign is working. I think it is pretty clear that it is working based on the response that Iran gave. Yet yesterday, the House voted to try to limit the powers of the commander-in-chief at this very important time. It strikes me as the worst possible time to do that. We're going to get into that issue. Number two, folks, the impeachment game in the United States House, it's coming to an end. Those impeachment articles are going to be in the United States Senate in a matter of days, maybe even later today, more likely early next week. But that game is coming to an end. I am absolutely convinced of it. We will discuss why I believe that, why I think Jordan believes that as well when he joins us in studio. And three, politics. Folks, we're 10 months away from another election where the White House, the Senate, and the House are all on the docket. Next Tuesday is the next Democratic debate, so we will discuss politics as well. We'll also discuss any other items that you have on your mind. Again, to be a part of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. But we're going to start with national security. And as we go to this break, I want to play you a quick piece of sound from Secretary Pompeo. I think this illustrates why the commander-in-chief has to have all options on the table at this time. Listen to this bite. Secretary Pompeo, bite 11.
We had specific information on an imminent threat, and those threat stream included attacks on U.S. embassies. Period. Full stop.
Specific information about an imminent attack, including an attack on our embassies. Folks, that is the time that Republicans, Democrats, independents should be united behind the commander-in-chief to make sure he has all of the options necessary to combat that threat against the Americans and American assets. Look, yet yesterday, on a largely party line vote, there was a symbolic resolution passed out of the House to try to limit those powers. The good news is that resolution does not have any teeth. The commander-in-chief retains all of his powers. We will break all of that down for you and take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Again, after this break, we'll talk national security first. We're also talking politics and open phone lines. 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Okay, folks, welcome back into JSecular Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. For those of you who are joining us via Facebook, we talked during the break about this War Powers resolution that was passed in the House of Representatives yesterday. And I am going to get to your calls fairly early in the broadcast here. By the way, we're going to be joined by Jordan Seculo here to take over the helm in just a moment. But I did want to start this conversation before we bring any calls into it with a discussion about Wes and Harry about just what this resolution passed by the House accomplishes. And I'll give away the game just a little bit here. It doesn't actually do much other than issue a message from the House of Representatives. It does not curtail the Commander-in-Chief's powers under a couple of different reasons. The Constitution certainly is Article 2 power. Also statutory authority. But let's start with Wes. Wes, I think you even heard this from Speaker Pelosi as she was questioned by reporters about why this wasn't an actual debate about a declaration of war or an authorization for the use of military force. And she didn't have a real answer for it. Wes, the truth is she wanted to say something about this without actually doing something about it.
Exactly. This is a concurrent resolution. And in spite of her statements afterward, you know, she said, well, this resolution absolutely has teeth. Well, in fact, it does not. And you go back, you mentioned statutory. There's also legal precedent. Back in 1983, the Supreme Court ruled that the Congress cannot you know, bind an administration with a concurrent resolution because they said it amounted to an unconstitutional legislative veto. A president has the power of veto. Congress does not. They can override a veto if they have the votes, and certainly this vote was 224 to 194. They couldn't override it if they had sent it to the president. But she didn't send it because she knew that it would not be signed. It would not pass the Senate. And it seems to me, Than, that the House Democrats, they continue to pass resolutions, and they've done this for the better part of 3 years, that really are meaningless, and they have no chance of becoming law. They're great on making symbolic statements and political statements, and that's what this resolution was yesterday, but it seems that the Democrats are horrible at actually legislating and getting things done. But as we said during the break, it's sad that in a time when we really need national unity, to have a united front against the forces of terrorism that seek to destroy us, that in the middle of that, that politics played such a prominent part, and that they would take a vote like this, even though they know it has no power and no meaning.
Keep going.
Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, you look at it, and it's very disturbing. It really is. She also said that going forward, that the next thing they're going to do is to repeal the 2002 Authorization for the Use of Military Force, the AUMF. Well, there's no chance of that passing the Senate either or being signed unless she comes up with a new authorization of military force, because doing it just by repealing it is denial in the face of the terror threats that we face.
We're going to be joined by Jordan Sekulow in just a moment here, folks, and we do have a bit of breaking news that I know he wants to break, but I'm going to throw it to Jordan on this war powers question first, because, Jordan, we've been talking with Wes and Harry about how the president still retains constitutional authority to conduct matters of war, and what the House did yesterday was a symbolic messaging resolution. You know, if they wanted to invoke their Article 1 powers and actually debate whether or not they wanted a new AUMF or a new war declaration, sure, they could have done that. They didn't do it.
They didn't do that. And they don't really want this to go to court. And they've never wanted this to go to court, and there's a reason why. They would likely lose. So these resolutions that are put forward, typically they have been vetoed in the past. Sometimes the veto has been overridden. So the War Powers Act, the older resolution, you know, it stood. It was Nixon, I think, who initially vetoed it, and then that the Democrats repassed it and overrode the veto. This could be vetoed. And the question is, does the Congress then go to court? In the past, I think that they don't really want the courts. And there's a lot of these issues like this where neither the executive branch or legislative branch wants the courts to decide for them. So they want to have this back and forth game. I mean, listen, I go back to this. Barack Obama was using thousands of drone strikes, killing thousands of terrorists under the same AUMF in the same region of the world. They said nothing. And suddenly now, because Donald Trump did it, it's a constitutional crisis for them. But we have some serious breaking news now on the impeachment trial. I mean, that's why we're in Washington, D.C. I think, you know, you know our roles in that as we serve outside of the ACLJ as counsel to President Trump. And we have now gotten word officially from Nancy Pelosi in a letter she has sent to the U.S., her fellow members on the Judiciary Committee, quote, "I have asked Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler to be prepared to bring to the floor next week a resolution to appoint managers and transmit the articles of impeachment to the Senate. I will be consulting with you at our next Tuesday House Democratic Caucus meeting on how to proceed further." That means likely there will be a vote next week. It will pass. The articles of impeachment will move to the U.S. Senate. And then the Senate takes over, and the trial begins. Now, there's some procedural aspects to that trial that obviously the Senate, if they use the Clinton model, which they've talked about, goes through, and there's rules that have to be then determined in the Senate, reading of the articles, the Chief Justice swears in, the members of the U.S. Senate swear in. But we are now at the point, folks, where we are likely either, depending on the timing, it looks like she's going to do it Tuesday, Than, which means speak to the leaders, means a Wednesday vote. And once the vote happens and that goes forward and the managers go over, that's it for the House of Representatives. They've got their it's interesting. The representatives for impeachment, those saying the president should be impeached, can only be Democrat members of the House of Representatives, it could be a Republican, but they have to be House members. On the president's side, that's not the case. You'll see members of the White House Counsel. You'll see members of the president's legal team, personal legal team, and anyone else. I mean, so it's a court-like procedure, but we're now getting to that point. I think you can all figure out what we were doing in Washington, D.C., why I was on the air yesterday, and just got back into the studio because I wanted to announce that for all of you. So the trial is coming. If the Senate gets it next week, depending on the timing and how we've looked at this, depending on what day they get it next week, there's then a holiday that coming Monday. So you've got the holiday, likely something, it begins then that Tuesday in the U.S. Senate, unless they begin the procedural matters Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And under the impeachment rules under Clinton, interesting enough, it was usually between like noon and like 6 or 7 p.m., because the Chief Justice has court cases right now at the Supreme Court. So you've got to deal with their schedule. So it doesn't start super early in the morning. That could change. could be a morning on days that he can do it, but usually it's kind of uniform. And Saturday is a work day. So unlike Monday through Friday court, it may not be a real long process, but it's like those hearings, very long days. The U.S. senators, interestingly enough, have to pose everything through the Chief Justice. They're used to talking a lot, Than. I think this is what's going to be interesting in 2020, in the modern age. We can only look back really to the Clinton time, and we'll take phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. This is huge breaking news because, one, this shows the pressure that was put on Pelosi. Than, that pressure went from Mitch McConnell playing, saying, I don't care. It was the Democrats who were dying in the polls politically who told her, like Dianne Feinstein. It was all yesterday.
Yep.
The dam broke yesterday. You reported that on the air. And then they all pulled back and said, I don't want to hurt her. It's still Nancy Pelosi. She is the speaker. Well, yeah, she's the speaker of the House. Their role is really done. They've got to make their key decisions. They have. It's moving forward. The pressure campaign to get this moving. And now I think it could potentially, if things stay on track, it's still Congress, be done before the State of the Union.
Yeah, Jordan, I mean, here's the truth of the matter. Senator Feinstein and Chairman Smith got taken to the woodshed a little bit. They spoke what was on their hearts, I think. They knew that this gig was up and it was time for Speaker Pelosi to send it over. And yet when they said that, they got in trouble with their leadership and they tried to dial it back. Here's the reality, though, Jordan. Speaker Pelosi had her bluff called. Leader McConnell said, look, I don't want these articles in the first place. You do whatever you want. The Senate is going to conduct these procedures by the rules that we decide. You are not going to dictate that to us. And she ran out of time, Jordan. Now, just procedurally, the reporting is that she is going to address her caucus on Tuesday. And this is something that you and I have talked about on the air many times. This was always going to require another vote. And that was another layer of pressure on Speaker Pelosi, because as the unrest grew in her caucus, those votes were going to dwindle. That's another reason she has to go ahead. If she addresses her caucus on Tuesday, Jordan, it would be a pretty big rush to get it to the floor on Tuesday night. Now, maybe she still will. But
because
then,
she's telling Nadler, you're drafting it today.
That's right.
Start drafting the resolution in the Judiciary Committee. So, yeah, I mean, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to the U.S. Senate. I mean, that's, you know, but the moment it's done in the House and the vote occurs, they have to send the managers go over. I mean, there's not delays there. This is actually was an unprecedented delay in history. And in the past, I mean, there have been 4 or 5 day delays because of events or timing or, you know, holidays. But this one, it was holidays plus. And what, you know, we found out that this was because John Dean was suggesting things on CNN. It backfired. John Dean is not a good strategist for Democrats and not someone you want in your corner on any of these issues. And the truth is, we now are going to have a trial. And folks, your team here at the ACLJ, we're going to be very involved. So we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Breaking news, and I just want to reset this if you're just joining us, because we've talked a lot about, I know we started with Iran today. I wasn't even in the studios here in Washington, D.C. Stan said yesterday, figure out why, you know, this impeachment trial now moving forward. And definitively now, it is moving forward. I think that that is the key. Nancy Pelosi has sent a letter. And a public letter, really, I guess, to the Democrat caucus, but it's been released publicly. Quote from Nancy Pelosi: "So you think the pressure campaign worked?" And the pressure campaign ended up being Democrats who were basically saying, "We're getting killed here." Well, I mean, it was Doug, whether it was the senator from Alabama, whether it was the senator from California. I mean, you had this kind of wide array of Democrats pressuring Nancy Pelosi, and she said, specifically, quote, "I have asked Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler to be prepared to bring to the floor next week a resolution to appoint the House managers." Those are the people, by the way, those House managers, just so we start determining this, are going to be members of Congress that present the case to impeach the president. So they have to defend the two articles of impeachment, the abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. So that's why they have to have another vote. It's a resolution to appoint who's going to do that for the House, and the House has to agree on that. Now, Democrats will be able to do that in a partisan way. They don't need Republican votes, but it is a full House vote. And then the articles, as she says, and transmit articles of impeachment to the Senate. "I will be consulting with you at our Tuesday House Democrat caucus meeting on how we proceed further." Why is it Tuesday? Monday is the National Football Game Championship. Pelosi is going. I think the president is going. There's also a Democrat debate Tuesday night. So they've gotten through that point too. So that will go on. And then it appears that like Wednesday, Thursday, somewhere in there, there's a vote in the House. Once that happens, the Senate can take it up immediately. They begin on some procedural grounds, reading the articles. They have to sign an oath. The Chief Justice has to come and preside. The first resolutions is, and then the first really battle in the Senate is the rules of how the trial will proceed. And what we're actually hearing now, and you could, so just kind of to understand, I think this gets into some of the part that I think will be interesting for all of you, is that each motion gets proposed by a senator via the Chief Justice. You know, they have to write it down, and the Chief Justice delivers it. Then you get an hour. Now, you don't have to use the full hour, but a full hour on each motion can be utilized between the House managers, that's those in favor of impeaching the president, defending and presenting, in a sense, prosecuting through the articles of impeachment, the two articles. And then there is the aspect of the president's legal team, which is a mix of whoever he wants. The House, those who impeach, they're limited. They have to pull, they can't use Dan Goldman. They can't use their counsels to present this. They have to be, you have to be a member of Congress. So whoever she names will likely be the Schiffs, the Nadlers, some that you may not know as well, but a group like that. The president's team can be made up very differently, of a mix of government, White House, you know, attorneys, outside attorneys. I will tell you, our team will be involved. So this is a historic moment. It's not a good moment. It's not a moment I hoped to happen. It's not a moment any of us wanted to happen. But it's a moment, I tell you, we've been ready to go. We are ready to go. In a sense, it was chomping at the bit to finally get to respond to Adam Schiff and these bogus articles of impeachment. Now there's an opportunity to do so. And then there was two kinds of pressure points. there was the pressure point that broke the dam from her own party and the senators. But there were also two resolutions. One that was interesting enough, Mitch McConnell announced this morning he had signed on to, which was the resolution to just start without the articles. And then there was the resolution to force the Senate to send over.
Yeah, introduced.
Force the House to send over.
Right, introduced by Senator Graham. So you sort of had different factions inside the Republican Senate, Jordan. But look, I think it's to Leader McConnell's credit that all of the factions really pulled in the same direction. I mean, you had Senator Hawley introducing this legislation that it said if 25 days passed without the articles being sent over, that the United States Senate would just start on their own. Then you had Senator Graham's resolution that talked about all of the missteps and the abuses of the Constitution that Speaker Pelosi had engaged in. And expressed the sense of the Senate that the articles should be sent over. Jordan, Leader McConnell signed on to both of those. It was an indication to Speaker Pelosi that he was done with her trying to dictate how the Senate was going to operate. And I will tell you this, too. I mean, you know, inside the GOP Senate caucus, Jordan, I mean, you know this. There's a lot of different factions. Sometimes they aren't all unified. But just a few days ago, when Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins and Mitt Romney announced that, look, we might have some differences at different points, but this is up to the majority in the United States Senate to conduct these rules, and we are going to stand with Leader McConnell in conducting them in the way that the Bill Clinton procedures were conducted. Jordan, that was a very key moment. Speaker Pelosi might have felt more pressure from her own Democrat colleagues who were getting nervous, but the GOP Senate standing together on those procedural matters, Jordan, that was very significant.
Yeah, this morning waking up to that news with Murkowski and Collins, or last night, that Mitch McConnell won, not only was joining these resolutions, but had put together the votes to say we're going to follow the Clinton model. The Clinton model is you don't get to put a bunch of witnesses up that you didn't. First of all, the House could have pulled whoever they wanted. They could have gone to court to fight to get them. They decided not to and decided to move forward with their articles of impeachment. So they're gonna have to present their articles, present their case without witnesses. There's still an opening at the end, and there always has been under the previous rules, that resolutions can be then put forward to call witnesses, to subpoena witnesses even. After you have, I mean, in Clinton, it was 24 hours was given to the House to present their case. So both sides, now you don't necessarily utilize all of that. I think the Democrats would. Here, I think that it will come down. I mean, this is hours, so that means days. You will have to go through days of hearing from the House, the House managers, those are members of Congress, pushing these articles of impeachment. And then you will hear a few days from the president's legal team. Then there can be questions submitted, and they'll have to come to a resolution, Than, on that as well. On how long that question period can be, then after all that is done, if it follows correctly, kind of how it's been in the past, after all of that, you would then determine, do we call any other witnesses or do we just vote on the articles? I think there'll be a resolution at the end of that. There'll be a resolution by Republicans saying, you know, let's vote. And you see if you get enough votes for the vote. Again, there's a lot of options, too. This is just kind of getting at the base of it, of how things should look if that model is followed. But it can be a battle on the rules. I'd expect that. We're going to come back, second half hour, taking your calls. We now know the impeachment trial is moving to the U.S. Senate. It's going to occur, so long as Nancy Pelosi stays true to her letter now, out just now. 1-800-684-3110.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
We will fight for the right to live in. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live here in Washington, D.C. Glad I got back to be on some of the broadcast. As you know, as Stan noted yesterday, there's a reason why we are here. There's a reason why my dad has not been on the air so much either these past couple weeks, not just because of three Supreme Court cases granted in our representation of President Trump in March, but the impeachment trial. The question was, would it be sent over by the House? Are they going to actually move on it? There was a time period where it looked like Nancy Pelosi might never move on this. It might like kind of just sit there. And then the polling started coming out, and the American people said, this needs to be finished. And honestly, because of the lack of due process in the House and how it was run, the president deserves to put on a defense. And that has not been done. You know, we've done that on radio. We've done that on television shows. We've done it in the media. But, Than, what will be interesting here is this is the first time whoever, you know, we had questions coming in. What is the role of the House managers? And that came from Janie on Facebook, and Nicole on Facebook wrote, do we have an idea of who the House managers will be? I mean, there are some likely candidates for that. Adam Schiff would likely be there, but he is controversial because he lied about the contact with the whistleblower, the way he conducted the hearings, but it's hard to imagine he's not. How could you pass this? Jerry Nadler, head of the Judiciary Committee. If not him, it's one of his top members. You have to be a member of Congress if you're a House manager. And their job, then, is to prosecute the president, basically, in this kind of like trial setting, which will be much more formal than the House, but still less formal than an actual trial.
Well, you start with Chairman Schiff, Jordan. You would think that that would be the very first selection that Speaker Pelosi would make. But look, you don't have to go that far back to remember when the Intelligence Committee was submitting its report to the Judiciary Committee. That should have been Chairman Schiff's job. Jordan, he sent his attorney. He can't do that this time. So that's the most fascinating pick for me. Will she pick Chairman Schiff or not? Or is this an arena he does not want to go in? But Jordan, when you go through all of that, I think the most important part of all of that procedure is that for the first time during this process, there will be a defense put on. I mean, you go through all of what happened in the House. It was void of that. I mean, the minority couldn't even call their own witnesses, much less have the defense, the president's defense presented. That will not be the case in the United States Senate. It will be a more balanced procedure. And for the first time in all of this, I think both sides of the narrative will be told.
Yes, you're going to have both sides, and both sides have to take questions. So if it is Adam Schiff, he will be questioned. Now what we've got now, too, is, and this was great, is that the Republicans came together in the Senate, because this is a sham. Okay, I don't want to put too much. I was trying to explain to you how the optics of this will work, how this kind of proceeds. But let's be honest, these articles of impeachment are weak. They're disgraceful. They are, I wouldn't want to have to defend them even if you completely disagreed with the president and want to take this president down. These were articles that were rushed through and then held because of their weakness. They didn't get the witnesses that they wanted the Senate to start doing the job of the House to investigate. And the Senate said no. Mitch McConnell said, we're not going to do that. Chuck Schumer was demanding that. And finally, you know, that dam broke. And guess what? We're going to have a trial that begins. You're not going to see a bunch of witnesses called initially. And just like the original rules show, the last time this happened, you might see them called after. And there might not be enough votes for any of them to get called. And there's an argument, and I think a point to be made here. And if we're taking your calls on this, if you got questions about this, so there's a lot we can't answer. And some of it is up in the air. It's based off how the Senate will go through their process of the rules for this. At 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on Jay Sekulow Live. But let me be clear. Let me be clear. They cannot be excited. They got nothing out of this except for lower polls and the American people turning on them. When we come back, we take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. But finally, the president and his legal team will be able to defend him in front of the American people and the United States Senate. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Right to the phone call. It's 1-800-684-3110. People got questions about now that Nancy Pelosi has announced that next week the House will vote on their resolution to name who will present their case, prosecute their case, and defend their articles of impeachment. Those are called House managers. Those has to be members of the House of Representatives. So they'll vote on that and to transmit the articles of impeachment to the U.S. Senate. So she's having a meeting Tuesday. I would say likely then that vote is Wednesday or Thursday. Things kick off right away, and Saturday is a work day under the past rules of impeachment. And unlike the city, which usually is starting like at 9 a.m., because the Chief Justice presides and has current court cases right now, this is in a term of the Supreme Court. We have three in March. So he's got to do his job as Chief Justice, as a Justice of the Supreme Court, then come over to the Senate. So a lot of times this would start at like 12:30. And go to like 6:37. So if you get 20 hours to present a case, it's not like that's getting done in 2 days. That's probably getting done in 3 days. Now, there's not a ton of interruption in the openings, usually, but you have to get to that part. So the first steps are the Senate adopting rules of how they will proceed. One thing we know, one rule that we know will withstand is that no witnesses are going to be called at the beginning of this. So all sides will present their case. The rule will indicate how much time you get, and multiple people from the president's side. You'll see multiple House managers as well. The difference is the president's team does not need to be made up. It can be, but doesn't have to be made up of members of Congress. Members of Congress from the House can be on that team. They don't have to be. And anyone, the president can bring in anyone to defend himself. Some of that will be his White House counsel team. Some of that will be our team as our role for the President of the United States. But the House is limited to their members, not their members, you know, hired guns, but to the members themselves. That you get to present, and then you answer questions. The questions, unlike a hearing that we're used to where these senators are proposing it directly, they have to put them in writing under the previous rules. And the Chief Justice actually presents the question to the party that the question is addressed. I mean, so it's a very different procedure. And I think in this news media age where everybody wants their 15 minutes, it's going to be a lot tougher for them at first. Now, there will be the first battles will be on these rules and amendments there. And the legal teams get a say on that. So you get to argue the rules. And I think that will be kind of, you know, that will be something people watch very closely. Then it goes into the presentations, basically, opening statements, if you will, and closing statements and questions. Then they can vote to dismiss the articles and acquit the president. They could vote on other amendments to bring witnesses. Right now, Mitch McConnell has the votes to start without any witnesses. So I want to take Amy's call on line one because I think it's, you know, a lot of people are going to want to know, how is this going to work out? Who is going to have to be called? And so, Amy, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Amy, you're cutting out a little bit on my side. Her question was going to be, will the whistleblower be called? My idea is that no one is called. Is that the group of Republicans, here's how weak of a case this is from the House Democrats, Dan. And then ultimately, if it gets to the point of even having through, you know, full statements, full question and answer time, you're talking about a couple weeks there, probably. 10 to 14 days, depending on how quick they're moving in the schedule and what happens in the holidays and things like that, federal holidays, things like that. Is that the first vote will be to dismiss and again to vote on the articles. And if you vote on the articles, yes, it is. It's you don't win by getting, you know, 53, all 53 Republicans or in a couple Democrats, 55. You win by then not getting to 67, actually. So there can be votes there. And then they can also vote on trying to bring witnesses. They may allow some of those amendments to be put, you know, amendments and resolutions to be voted on. Right now, the coalition is saying, of Republicans saying, we may not all agree on everything, but we're standing strong on this. We're not going to start this off with this out of control witness show, because they understand too. This is not like a Senate hearing, where it's 20 senators and four witnesses. This is 100 senators in the chamber, lawyers from the president's team, members of Congress who are likely attorneys from the House called managers presenting their case, and the Chief Justice. So it is a very solemn and serious-looking procedure, and one that, listen, the last time people can go back and look at the footage is in the 1990s, and footage was pretty grainy from them. So this time around, we don't see the Chief Justice a lot, especially in an active role. We see him swear in presidents, administer the oath of office, and then we can hear him, you know, in the audio transcripts that get released by the Supreme Court. But then this becomes – the Senate is a very different body than the House, and 100 of them not being able to all get up and speak. It's not just like them giving speeches. That is not what this is like. They're jurors.
Yeah, and Jordan, I think the situation that you described in the House is part of the reason why I agree with you that it's not likely that there will be witnesses, because it just spoiled the senators, if you will, to this whole process. I mean, I think people like Mitt Romney and Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins might have been inclined to tell me, Leader McConnell, look, try to work something out with Chuck Schumer if it seemed like it was a sober process. But the fact that it hasn't been, the fact that it has been a political charade, made them less inclined to want to engage in it. So, you know, look, I agree with you. There may be votes down the line about whether or not there are going to be witnesses. Maybe one of those votes gets over the line. But I do think the most likely scenario is that it doesn't. And Jordan, I also think it's entirely possible that there's a motion to dismiss that passes before they even take that vote about witnesses.
Yes, exactly right. So you can have that motion as well. We've heard all this. This is weak. The president's case was strong about how weak this was. And remember, I'll take your phone calls on this, but 1-800-684-3110. Howard on Facebook, I want to go to Harry on this. Harry Hutchison from our legal team. He wrote in, Harry, can the lack of due process be addressed in the Senate? It absolutely will be, that there was no due process in the House of Representatives. And now this is the first opportunity for the president to lay out the facts, lay out the truth. And, I mean, a lot of that is in the transcript itself. And the real surrounding the truth behind, because in the what we were relying on before, if you were a supporter of the president, was members of Congress doing that in the House, in pushing back on witnesses, but they didn't have the control there. It was Democrats who had the main control, and so the president didn't have like his own team there to question the witnesses, to put forward information, evidence, whatever you want to call it in this kind of setting. This time around, Harry, though I don't think we should be doing this, I think it's outrageous that we even have this impeachment, the president gets due process.
I think you're absolutely correct. So the Democrats have specialized in an attempt to mislead, to conceal, and to rely on falsehoods. So for the first time, both sides will be heard. And in addition, I think it's very imperative for the president's team to point out the many mistakes taken by the Democrats in bringing these impeachment claims. Keep in mind, they focused initially on extortion, quid pro quo, bribery. But then when it came time to put up or shut up, they issued articles of impeachment which made none of those claims. Why? Because there's no evidence in support of those claims. So they've come up with two fairly nebulous claims, obstruction of Congress, abuse of power. What does that mean constitutionally? Have they indeed read the Constitution? And if the Democrats are incapable of reading the Constitution, they should hire a lawyer who can read it to them. And so I think they will be exposed at trial.
Yes, and here's the part that will be frustrating. They're going to get their time, Than. Your Adam Schiff, your Nat, whoever it is, there's going to be others too, to hammer along their talking points. Their messaging, as Harry said, it may be totally in contrast to what the Constitution, what the courts have ruled on in the past, what's been clear about the extent of presidential powers, but what we do know is that they will get time. It will be frustrating. The good news is we get to respond. We get to respond officially. We don't have to do it through just going on media, which we will be doing, and using the radio broadcast. We get to respond officially on the Senate floor, you know, on the record.
I think of the proverb that says one side sounds wise until the other side presents its case, Jordan. For the first time, there's going to be two sides presented, and I would suggest to you that the evidence presented in the House isn't going to sound, I was going to say nearly as strong, but it didn't sound strong the first time. It won't sound strong at all when there's a competing side also presenting their side.
I mean, and again, remember, your goal as a House manager is you've got to get 20 Republicans to agree with you, plus all the Democrats, okay? I mean, it is a tough battle. So what are they going to do? They're going to use it to take shots at the president. But politically, who is this really hurting? We know. It was Nancy Pelosi. She wasn't going to die on this hill. And so finally she moved forward. And these senators are going to have to deal with it. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today ACLJ.org.
one 800 684 3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There are questions coming in about this. I want to kind of put this out there too. I think that politically two things have happened here. Remember, a lot of this is politics. They're not getting a 67. I mean, you could literally, the president, you could just let the Democrats present their thing. We're not going to do that, obviously. The president's finally going to have due process and response. And I don't think you're going to get to 67. You're not getting 20 Republicans to take a Republican president out over these articles of impeachment. And there's an election in November of this year. But this has done two things. Seriously damaged Democrats and united a Republican Senate, which is not easy. The House Republicans, it's much easier for them to kind of come together. They're also in the minority right now, so it's easier to be against things. The Republican Senate, you've got from Susan Collins to Mike Lee on war powers, and you know, you've got the Romneys out there, you've got your Rand Pauls out there, but there's one thing they've kind of all united around through Mitch McConnell and through, you know, Senator Hawley, and again through Senator Graham, is that this has been a sham, and that this is not right how this has occurred, but we're gonna take our constitutional role seriously, Dan.
Yeah, in the United States Senate, Jordan, you really honestly start from a situation where you're not unified on this for the ideological reasons that you mentioned, and also just for political ones. You've got senators representing states where it's actually to their political advantage to have a little bit of separation, or at least historically they have thought so. I might dispute some of that data, Jordan, but some of them believe that it is. So you start from a situation where getting all 53 U.S. senators is not the default, unlike in the House. Jordan, in this case, the Democrats have so overplayed their hand that I really do believe, I think it's pretty much proven now that Leader McConnell has all 53 Republicans on board for this plan that he wants to present it. Now, it doesn't mean there might be a vote somewhere along the way about a subpoena or a witness where there would be deviation. But on the key vote, on the vote to stand up for the institution of the United States Senate and what the Constitution affords it the authority to do, Jordan, complete unity. I honestly can't think of, on a vote of this magnitude, where that has been the case in recent history.
No, and let me take your phone calls now. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Jim calling in from Pennsylvania on line one. Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, I'm glad for the work that you guys do.
Hey, thanks. You're on the air, Jim.
Yes, sir. I was wondering if the Democratic presidential candidates will be allowed to use this as a platform for their reelection.
It actually is not helpful for their reelection. And I want to go to Wes Smith on this, because Wes, what's interesting here is the U.S. Senate is used to being able to kind of speak out and talk as much as they want, and drone on for very long periods of time. And there's only 100 of them. So they're more prominent. And even then, you know, start get passing, even those who of us who are really politically engaged, you start naming more than 25 right away, you know, without writing them down. Because even then, there's like 25 that go out a lot from, you know, we've kind of cut it down to half from each side, 12 from each side, who do a lot of the media, the chairmen, the committees, the leadership. And then there's still a lot who don't. But, okay, the ones who are running for president just have to sit there. The most they get to do, interestingly enough, is submit questions in writing during question time, which is probably be around 8 hours combined. So that means to both sides. So they submit questions in writing. So their name might be called, like the Chief Justice may say, Senator so-and-so Warren has this question for the legal team representing the president, or would like clarification from House Manager Schiff on this point, or isn't it true that this, or did this occur? That's it. Now, at the end, they could vote to have time to debate, I guess. They make up the rules. But initially, if I'm a candidate for president and I'm in the U.S. Senate, this is my worst nightmare, Wes.
Absolutely. It will be torturous for them, although I do predict that following the hearings each day, they will look for reporters and cameras and try to make as much out of it as they can. They're very, very good at grandstanding, and if you've ever watched C-SPAN, often they are grandstanding to an empty chamber. I think that one of the things that's interesting about what you and Than and Harry have been talking about, though, is that say what you will about Nancy Pelosi, she is an astute politician. She understands bare-knuckled, cutthroat political maneuvering. But in this case, Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, he out-Pelosied Pelosi by agreeing to sign on to dismissing charges.
Yeah,
she knew that was not an empty threat, and so Pelosi caved, and she's sending the articles of impeachment over. She did not want to do that. McConnell was very, very clever, more clever than she was in calling her hand on it.
You know, I think what it was, I can't confirm that the votes were there for it, but I think they were a week or two away from we know what the articles are. We're never going to have this trial dismissed. So it doesn't matter what you do, Nancy Pelosi. A week or two away from that. And they were starting to put that out through people like Senator Thune, who said, you know, we might not be ready to do that now, but in a couple of weeks. I mean, these are number two ranking members of Congress then. They were putting that message out to Nancy Pelosi that we will give you a week. Or that's about it. Or suddenly those of us who usually would go through the kind of the normal rules will start voting. There are nuclear options here. Let's just say, just like there were for judicial nominees in the past, where you could say we're no longer going to require 2/3 and you only need 51 votes to make that change. There's ways to do that here. So you've got a few days left or else you will never get a trial. Your House managers won't present their case. And like, some of these Noah Feldman, some of these liberal law professors have said, you technically maybe not didn't even impeach the president, didn't even go halfway.
Yeah, I'll accept that, Jordan. I think you're right on the timeline in the Senate. I'd go one step further. I think there were probably just a few weeks in the United States House from not having the votes to send them over. So I think Speaker Pelosi had a problem in both chambers. But look, when you just look at it through a purely political lens, I mean, clearly impeachment historically hurts the party bringing it. But Jordan, think about if you're a Democrat running in a district that Donald Trump won and they've added 7 million jobs since he took over, unemployment's at a 50-year low,
stock 29.
Is that really what you want to take into November?
Yeah, no, I know. This is again, I think if they had strong candidates, this doesn't happen. This is a long shot move to try and damage a president who's going into an election with all things favoring him. And a new base of supporters that existed only in the release since 2016 that he's already got on board. And he's just got to convince the next 15% of Americans that things are better under him. And right now they are considerably. So they're trying to distract you as much as possible. What they don't want you to do is spend time really looking at their candidates yet. Because that's not the best answer. So people have questions. I saw them coming. When is Nancy Pelosi actually done and have no power here? When that vote is done, so when the resolution is voted on, and those House managers are named, and they transmit this to the Senate, that's it. Now, they can always have more hearings. So long as the Democrats control the House, they can have as many hearings and vote on as many articles of impeachment as they want, as long as they're in control of the House. But for these two articles of impeachment, which are so weak that they don't cite actual laws and actual crimes, they'll say, you don't have to. Usually they do, because it makes a stronger case, because they don't want to have to prove elements of crimes, which you can't in these cases. So in this situation, I just want to make it clear to everybody as we finish out today, Nancy Pelosi's role will be over as soon as that's transmitted to the U.S. Senate. It looks like that will be happening on Wednesday or Thursday. Now, it's Washington and it's politics. It's kind of a long time between now and then. So things can happen. But it appears Nancy Pelosi is now committed to giving this to the U.S. Senate, and we're going to get to know who those Democrats will be.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.